Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson in 1 Samuel. So open your Bibles there if you have them, and remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table, and we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Well, yesterday we were talking about how the Philistines were trying to figure out how they could possibly get rid of the Ark. And today we're going to see what they end up doing. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 7 through chapter 7, verse 1. Now then, go get a new cart ready, with two cows that have been calved and never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the cart, but take their calves away and pen them up. Take the Ark of the Lord and put it on the Ark, and in a chest beside it, put the gold objects you are sending back to him as a guilt offering. Send it on its way, but keep watching it. If it goes up to its own territory toward Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. But if it does not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us, and that it happened by chance. So they did this. They took two such cows and hitched them to the cart and penned up their calves. They placed the Ark of the Lord on the cart, and along with it the chest containing the gold rats and the models of the tumors. Then the cows went straight up toward Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road and lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right or to the left. The rulers of the Philistines followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley, and when they looked up and saw the ark, they rejoiced at the sight. The cart came to the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, and there it stopped beside a large rock. The people chopped up the wood of the cart and sacrificed the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord together with the chest containing the gold objects and placed them on the large rock. On that day, the people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices to the Lord. The five rulers of the Philistines saw all of this, and then returned that same day to Ekron. These are the gold tumors the Philistines sent as a guilt offering to the Lord, one each for Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And the number of the gold rats was according to the number of Philistine towns belonging to the five rulers, the fortified towns within their country villages. The large rock on which the Levites set the Ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. But God struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death, because they had looked into the Ark of the Lord. The people mourned because of the heavy blow the Lord had dealt them, and the men of Beth Shemesh asked, "Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? To whom will the ark go up from here?" Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to your place." So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. So the Philistines got a cart, put two cows that were still giving milk to their calves, and they had never pulled a cart before, to ensure that wherever the cows went with the ark was as random as possible. The cows go toward Beth Shemesh without wavering. Think about this, especially any of you who have ever worked with animals. Without pulling against each other, without trying to get out of the yoke, the two cows work together and go straight to Beth Shemesh and stop when they get to a large rock. These cows are newly separated from their calves, yet they didn't try to turn around and go back for their calves either, which would have been their natural instinct. So watching this all the way to the edge of Beth Shemesh are the leaders of the Philistines. They watch the cows as they walk with purpose, and the leaders know that all the things that have happened to them are not random. They know that they were right to send the Ark of God away. Now, Beth Shemesh was a Levite's city of the tribe of Benjamin. Basically, it's a city of descendants of the priests. Can you imagine the amazement and surprise on the faces of the people of Beth Shemesh as the Ark basically walks itself into their town? And It comes with its own offering, including the wood to burn. They immediately chop up the cart and sacrifice the cows on the wood from the cart, praising God for returning the ark to this priestly town. What a celebration they had in store, and what a relief to have the ark back! What shock and amazement as they see how God has worked to rescue his own ark! But here's the kicker. Once again, the Israelites disobey. Some of the men decide they should check inside of the ark. For what? What were they looking for? More gold tumors and rats? They knew better. They knew they were not supposed to look inside the ark. Remember the cloth placed on the ark when it was out in public so the people wouldn't view it? They also blew it simply by touching the ark to open it. So God kills them, right there. No preamble, just dead. Just, you are still presumptuous even after you lost the ark, and bam, done. The day of celebration at the return of the ark is now a day which is full of mourning. After this blow to the town, the Israelites send for the other men from Kiriath-Jearim to come and get the ark. They know they messed up. They want someone more responsible to come get the ark. Will they never learn? Will they ever follow directions and not lose men to their own folly? At least they had the intelligence to remove the temptation from their midst. After all, they'd already proved that they couldn't handle the responsibility. It was time to give the ark to someone who could handle it. The ark was supposed to be respected and revered, a far different attitude than the superstitious one that brought the ark into the battle and got it taken captive in the first place. This whole thing serves as a reminder that God is the one who is in control always. Even when men act stupidly and allow the ark to be captured, guess what? God is bigger than that. The Israelites tried to manipulate God into winning a battle for them. The result was absolutely disastrous. The Philistines tried to show their pretend God was more powerful than the one true God. The result? They watched their people die. They watched their land be filled with rats and their livelihood destroyed for their arrogance. The men of Beth Shemesh knew that what the requirements of dealing with the ark were. They were a city of priestly heritage. They knew how to treat God's ark with reverence. Yet they chose to disobey. They treated God's ark as a sideshow exhibit, and not only did they touch it, but they decided to have a look inside the ark. The amount of disrespect that the Israelites showed God in this entire episode is awesome, and not in a good way. Yet, how often do we do the same things as the Israelites? How often do we decide that if we say it, it's true? So I'll say that I'm serving God's interests by volunteering to help with the children's ministry at church when, in reality, I'm looking for the praise of men for my selflessness. I'll say that I'm serving God by donating clothes to Goodwill, but really, I'm in it for the receipt and the tax break. Not only that, but how often do we do things that we know absolutely are wrong? Yet we convince ourselves that it's okay because I'm doing it for God. I've heard people justify all kinds of behavior that they know is sinful in the most ridiculous ways. A divorced man in his 60s allows his girlfriend to stay in his home for a month while her home is being painted because he doesn't want to upset her and she expects him to let her stay with him. Really? So you're more afraid of your girlfriend getting angry than you are concerned that your knowing sin is separating you from God? Or the thousands of people who convince themselves that it's okay if we sleep together and live together because we're going to get married someday. Really? Show me where God says that. Or even, it's okay if I take this stapler from work. No one will really miss it. We justify our behavior in so many ways, telling ourselves the lie that, well, God doesn't care about this little sin of mine. He has to deal with serial killers and the wars going on, and they are much more important than the fact that I covet my neighbor's car. Baloney. One little peek, one little touch, and the people in Beth Shemesh found out that God does care about this little sin. He cares about all the sin in our lives because it separates us from Him. This world is not our home. We are only here for a little while, and our eyes should be fixed on Him above. Take comfort and strength, knowing that the God who will feed and clothe the birds of the air and the flowers in the fields loves you much more than the birds and flowers, and is there to give you peace in the midst of turmoil. If God can return the ark to His own people without their help, why do we doubt that God will take care of us and our families and our children? Give it back to Him. Rest in Him and trust Him to take care of you. Remember, we serve a higher master, and our allegiance should be focused on Him first. And when men disappoint us, again, remember, we are only here for a short time. So do a heart check today. When was the last time you confessed your sin to God? And I don't mean a generic, "Father, forgive me for my sins." I mean considering your heart and where you need to repent. We all need to. At the very least, we can all repent of pride. Pride shows itself in such awful ways in all of our lives. So seek your Father today and come before Him, ready to confess to Him and to repent, to turn from the sin that you love, to make it the sin that you hate, so that there will be no barrier between you and God.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.